Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Sunday Plugcast, brought to you guys by sportshoes.com. As always, British Champs is here once again. It feels like it's come around quick, but that's because it has. It's only been, 11 months, 10 months, mate, since the last one. But it's actually quite nice, I feel like, to start the summer off nice and early, really.
Mate, the best weekend of the year has arrived. There's always so much. And the reason being, it's just so much drama when it comes to British Champs. It is so cutthroat. There's always upsets. Of course, we'll have the dramas of the team being selected post-champs. And, you know, it is a bit of a shame at this champs that just that one spot is up for grabs, that one auto queue. I think that will... It just opens up the door for a lot of people just to change events and do their non-favorite event and potentially even not even show up, right? Because there's those two discretionary spots. So that's a bit of a shame. But I think as far as, you know, some of the making the finals will be in the 8 and the 15s, I think they're going to be fascinating matchups. Big players are going to miss out. And then, of course, yeah, just who's shaping up well and who can do it and who can win. I mean, and I think with it being earlier, it becomes really difficult for us to predict because we haven't, I mean, champs is always difficult, but we haven't seen as much from athletes this year. You know, some have done well to get some races in, but we know how difficult it is to find races of high quality. So I actually think there's a lot of athletes, and we can't read too much into the people who have run fast, because there's a lot of athletes who haven't had the same opportunities to run fast. They might have been in a world tour somewhere, field's not as good, weather's not as good, and they've still run okay, but they haven't run these electric times that we've seen in Diamond Leagues or these gold label tours. So and that's what you just don't know how that converts and how some of those athletes are going to step up. So the bottom line is we're very excited.
We are, mate. We are. And I think you're right. I think it makes it more exciting that we don't really know what's going to happen. And also we don't really know what events people are going to do. And yes, it's frustrating in a sense. But I think because it's Europeans year, we might see a few more people do some alternative events. We already know Keely, of course, is running the 400 and is not going in the 8. But I guess it'll be people like Whiteman and a few others who we might need some confirmation of.
I think someone like Whiteman will definitely, I mean, look, given he's a medalist at the World Championships, I think he's a lock for the 1500 without a doubt. Josh Kerr, a lock for the 1500 as well because of the Olympic medal. So, you know, I think on the policy it is anyone who's got a medal in the last two majors, 2024, 2025, they're locked. So, yeah, we're not going to see Josh Kerr. We're not going to see Whiteman in the 1500. Josh Kerr seems to be completely locked in on this triple two. And then he'll do the Europeans after that. We know that we're only a month away from that London Diamond League as well. So yeah, the men's 15 actually does take a bit of a dent, but there's new names, and for me there's a huge opportunity there. But it's just a shame for that there's one spot up for grabs in the men's 15, which in many ways it probably just means that the winner is going to get selected, which I think actually is winner takes all is going to be a very, very exciting scenario.
Yeah, certainly is. And I think, to be fair, like if you look at who is in there, and we'll get into each event more specifically, I think that's probably about right. And actually, there's a few guys in there that probably think, oh, maybe I can win that, rather than, I guess, your usual. They're always, if it wasn't a winner takes all, they'd be doing their usual, and they're all thinking, oh, okay, well, there's only one spot because it's who's going to get third anyway. So it doesn't really change it that much, except I guess that the overall race is maybe perhaps a little bit more exciting.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's what we're after, isn't it? And I was just reading there. Sorry, mate, you caught me a bit off guard. I'm just continuing to go through the old selection policy with a fine tooth comb, as well. And yeah, basically, I think if you've got the standard and you come second, I think you're a you're a lock. Just reading here.
So how does that work then with...
So only works if... Yeah, that's what I'm reading. So basically, if you come second and if you got the Euro standard, but the winner is someone who's a wild card or a previous medalist. So for example, if Josh Kerr was doing the 1500 and he won the 1500, the athlete who comes second and had a Euro time would get invited. But yeah, but for basically everyone else, I mean, second's not going to be good enough. So if you come second to someone who's an Olympic medalist or a world medalist, then you should be okay. But otherwise, if that person didn't win, they're not going to pass that selection down to third place or second place in that instance. That's big change for this year's championships, which is the first time that we've ever seen that. And I think that's a real shame. And do you know what? I was talking just before we dive into the actual races and predictions I was talking to a few on Saturday at the London 5000, which was an epic event, by the way. Two great races up front, deep as well. But and it's you know, the commies teams are basically in the process of being selected, right? England and Scotland, I think that window's closed. They're now being selected. And we'll find out who's on those commies teams over the next week or so, I think, when it's released, maybe next week. But what's a real shame is because that commies qualification was just so grey, I don't think anyone really got after it and tried to qualify. You know, I think people were just like, well, what will be in that instance. And in many ways, I almost feel like it's going to be the same with the Europeans, because the trials is becoming less irrelevant now because they've just put the head on just one person. And then especially if you're in a competitive event like the 8 and the 15 and you have people who are world medalists in there, then you know there's two spots up gone already pretty much. You think the women's 8, Jordan Keeley, men's 15, Whiteman and Kerr. And so, again, I just don't know how many people have actually really geared up for this champs and this trials in a way that, you know, believing they can qualify to the Europeans. And I think that's probably the saddest part.
It is, mate. And because normally this is the year where everyone like on the fringes is thinking, oh, this might be a year where I have a shot.
It should be that huge breakthrough. I mean, I look at, we rewind to 2022 and you had Jake Hayward and Matt Stoney in that 1500 final. And like that was mega, you know, that was huge for them. And yeah, you do look at the Europeans in this sort of quiet year and you're like, chances are the big names, you know, Whiteman might well go for the 8, might try for the 15, whatever. You get people out of events. And yeah, this is the year where if you have a good year this year, I think a lot of people are slightly off their game. You can have a really good breakthrough and you can announce yourself. But we haven't necessarily seen that.
No, and we'll have to see, I guess, who accepts their entries maybe and who decides to do what. I think we do kind of know, but until they actually announce a team, we don't really know. And who knows, like competing at the champs might be something that they take into account. Let's hope they do. But I think like you say, mate, it's the first year where we've seen top one, and it's a shame when there's kind of been discussions about should we move to top three and we've actually gone the other way. That's the way of the world. I think that's just the way the sport's going, unfortunately. But mate, should we get into some of these events?
Absolutely. Let's do it. I mean, we'll start with the eights because I think the men's 800 is probably the biggest talking point, and one of the reasons why is because you've got 32 men in there, so you're going to have four heats, and the seeding is going to need to be bang on because it is absolutely stacked. You look at the depth, everyone pretty much has a 144 lifetime best, to a 144, 145 lifetime best to their name. If you, I'm just seeing how many men have run 144, you've got about, 144 or quicker as 16, almost 16 of them. I think 15 men. That's their lifetime best, of course. They haven't run that this season, but that means you could almost, you're going to have six, seven guys who have run 145, 144 who are going to miss out on this final.
Yeah, like we always do. And I think it's always a big name, right? We look at these leading entries, Bergin, Patterson, Bottrell, Wyman. Someone always misses out. And I wonder who it's going to be this year. We hope none of those guys miss out on a final, but seems to be the case. It always happens.
It does. And what's going to be very difficult for the selectors is if, let's take, Patterson's run 143.7 this year. Obviously, he's a 142.2 man. He is, you know, undoubtedly one of our best 800 meter men. If he comes third in the champs and he gets beat by, I'm just going to, you know, pluck a name out of the air, maybe Yusuf Bizimana beats him, or he's just looking at him on the rankings here. You know, he's a 144 high guy. He beats him. But then Bizimana doesn't get the Diamond Leagues that Patterson does, you know, after that period. And so, you know, head to head, he's beaten Patterson, but he won't get the same lanes in a Diamond League. No way. You know, after the champs. So he probably will have maybe one or two chances, you know, good races where he can try and improve his time, but yeah, won't get the same lanes, won't get the same competitions. And so that's where, you know, the sport is. I guess the sport is unfair. It's always unfair, isn't it? You know, sport is never a level playing field, but that's where I think is, you know, will be a bit of a shame for some of those guys if they do. But by the way, I think Patterson, for me, it is going to be Max Bergen. It's going to be Ben Patterson, and Jake Wyman's in the field. And I think Jake Wyman will certainly come top three. He's not going to be outside that top three. So if we're talking the actual race itself, I don't think any of those guys are getting beat. I think it'll be Bergen. He'll win this thing in 143 low, maybe even a bit quicker, but I'm just factoring for a Birmingham, you know, champs is never the quickest place in the world. So yeah, just, I think 143 low, Patterson right behind him, Jay White right behind him as well.
Yeah, I think so. I think I'm with you there. And look, that's a damn good team. For Europeans, is Whiteman going to double up? Is that on the cards?
Yeah, I don't think so. I think he'll look at the 15 and go, actually, the 15, there's no runaway favourite in the 15, and that's going to be that could well be one of the most competitive races of the Euros. You think with Nadir and Jake going head to head again, Josh Kerr, if he fancies it, you know, none of them have won a European title, and I think it's got to be on the bucket list, you know, just to claim that European title. They've had medals, but none of them have won gold. And I think that will bother them because they're not, you know, if not this year, I think they probably this is their opportunity to win gold.
Yeah.
Beyond this year, I don't think Whiteman's in an opportunity to win gold again. I don't think, you know, Kerr will be an opportunity. Maybe we're going to be wrong, but yeah, you've got another 4 years, 2 years to go by.
Yeah. So there you have it. Neither of us predicting any sort of upsets in there, or anything like that. I guess people with the standard, is all those guys. So yeah, Bottrell, Bergen, Crawken, Patterson, Whiteman. As it stands, they're the guys of the European standard.
Yeah. Crawken is injured. He's fractured his foot. So yeah, I don't think well, I've had confirmation that he's not going to be racing at all, which is a bit of a shame. But then, yeah, you do. And, you know, people who have struggled this year, the 800 has struggled, you know, beyond Patterson and Bergen. I actually think, you know, Josh Kerr ran another 145. Whiteman's obviously run that 144, but he's just starting to get moving. You can accept that if he's not going to be super sharp being a 15 boy, but actually all the 800 runners, you know, your Justin Davies, your Dodds, your Jonas's, they've struggled, and it's just early on. So they don't look to be at it like they were last year. And that's why I say that if Bergen rips this thing up, goes 50 point at the bell, the only man who can go with him at that sort of speed is Patterson, and those two will run away. And, you know, I just presume Whiteman will follow.
Yeah. Though Whiteman, I think he'll want better than that. I think he'd obviously like to win, but I think he'd like to beat at least one of those guys as part of his preparation.
Of course he would like to. I just can't see him, if he's on the back foot, I just can't see him getting around them. I mean, always, if it's the same Max Bergen that we saw in the Diamond League, I mean, no one's gonna get past him and beat him. So
no. There you go. But yeah, that's pretty much the men's eight. Nothing crazy to report. Swinging over to the women's. Obviously, like I mentioned at the start, no Keely in there, but Georgia Bell has accepted. So Izzy Boffey, Georgia Bell, Gemma Riki, Shakira King, and Sarah Calvert all in there as well. In terms of leading entries for this season, people with a standard though. Erin Wallace also has the standard from last year, I believe.
Yeah. Yeah. And what do you think Georgia Bell would do? I actually think Georgia Bell will do the 800 at champs. I tell you, I haven't seen anywhere online to know what she's committing to. Maybe I just haven't been, you know, paying enough attention. Maybe some of you know exactly what she's doing, but I think she'll do the 800 like she did last year. I think she'll get after quick time. And also it's just going to tune her up for some strong 15s that are to come, because the Diamond League schedule, you know, you think of Eugene is what, the pre-classic is 4th of July. Everyone's going to be getting back out there and then hammering the Diamond League circuit. Then you've got the London Diamond League, etc. So yeah, I can see Georgia Bell just tuning up with a couple eights. And yeah, it's good for her. You know, she can go run fast in the final.
Yeah, I agree, mate. I think the good thing about the eight is that they can never run that slow. I mean, I'm saying this now, but they can never run that slow. So it's never that far away from what you'd consider to be a world-class 800 meter in terms of time and in terms of like the first lap, maybe the heats are. But like in the 15, they're not going to run anywhere near 4 minutes. I don't think, anyway. And
no.
And so it's just not really relevant for her, is it? I think it would be different if we saw races on the world stage that are won in, say, 4:15, 4:10. But it doesn't happen.
There's no point in her doing that. We've seen her run 58, 57 last laps in a 4:01 race. You know, four minute race. So she knows she can run away with it. She can kick better than anyone on the world stage, let alone on the British stage. So yeah, I just don't think the 15 will excite her and appeal to her as much as the 8 will. Like there's still a bit of a race there, you know, depending on what Ricky does, and obviously Izzy Boffey and even Erin Wallace, is still a bit of a race there, but no one to touch her, which might sound a bit harsh to the others, but you know, yes, just what happens when unfortunately pretty much the best runner in the world the best mid-distance runner over 800 and 1500 combined is British and lines up at the British Championships. I think it's great that we actually see her in you know, contest these events, because she had no reason to.
Yeah.
She's a medalist, and I'd
love to see Keely in this and Keely v Georgia in the British Champs, but I just don't think we ever will we? Which is a shame, but we completely understand why they do it.
Yeah. I'm surprised Keely's doubling down on the 400, you know, really chasing that sort of 400 again. I think it stands from, you know, what you were saying a few weeks back, is that with those relay spots, you know, she probably wants to, she definitely wants to run the 4x4 at Europeans.
Yeah.
And I don't know, maybe she wants to do the 400 at Euros. So we don't know yet, but to be fair, a British Champs with Georgia versus Keely in the 800 would have been exciting.
Yeah. It's the same with, I wish Kerr and Karen Whiteman were doing the 15. Feel like we've been starved of that, considering how long both of them have been at the top four. Like we've been starved of some like seriously good British champs 1500 meter head to head.
Yeah, we have. I mean, was the last one, was it 2022 or 20? Was it 2022 or yeah? Because then Whiteman was injured in 23, so I think it might have been the last time we saw it was when Whiteman went on to win gold at champs, and that might have been his first. I remember he hadn't won a British title for ages. And so that might have been his first one, 22 or 21. But over the 15, at least. But yeah, it is a bit of a shame, because you never see those guys. Obviously, they race at a championship, but there's so many other players involved. Mm-hmm. And to see them
like head-to-head, does it?
See them in a real head-to-head, no paces, nothing. Yeah. That would have been, yeah, that would be quite something. But back to women's eight then, by the way, I think there's, one, there is a bunch of women who are still accepted in the 1500, so it'd be interesting to see if they choose the 8 or the 15. Two, there is an opportunity for the likes of Boffey, Wallace, Ricky. They've just got to make sure they come second, because if Georgia wins this thing like we're predicting, that second spot is up for grabs because they have got that standard 1:59.8.
Yeah. And am I right in saying that won't be the same case, say Georgia ran the 15, because she's accepted both? But because she's not a medalist last year in the 15, does that mean?
No, she's an Olympic medalist though, so she's good.
So that's 20, fine.
24 and 25, yeah.
Right, okay, gotcha.
But yeah, she has, you're right, she has accepted the 15. Could we see a crazy double?
Well,
could we see
funny.
A crazy double?
The British Champs doesn't really allow you to double, but.
And again, like half an hour apart on the finals.
This is no disrespect to anyone else. If anyone can do it, and looking at the other fields, this is the year that maybe Georgia Bell could do that. And so would it? No one's gonna like.
I mean, it's just it's
what, slay her if she doesn't.
No.
So she's got nothing to lose, really.
Yeah, but it's that's a lot of. It's just a lot of impact on the body, right? And when you're someone who, you know, she'll be racing again next week, I'm sure, and then she'll be heading to Eugene for the pre-classic and like the Diamond League. Like, does she need that stress and impact on the body? Probably not.
You know, I'd argue some of the sessions they do in that group are probably damn hard. So I think she'd probably be all right.
Yeah, I mean, like the 15 heat would be, that'd be super chilled for her.
And the 8. Both the heat, and that's the thing for her, both the heats are absolute doddle.
I think the 8 is, let me get a timetable up, but yeah, it would be exciting. Anyway.
Yeah, that pretty much is the women's 800. But yeah, I think is it just Georgia who's accepted both at the moment?
No, there's a few like Sarah Calvert.
Sarah Calvert's the same.
Sarah Calvert,
Riki as well has accepted both.
Yeah, Riki. Aaron Wallace?
Yeah.
There's quite a few actually, so it's going to be interesting to see where they move to. I mean, if I'm Aaron Wallace, I'm probably just trying to tag the 800, but I know she has
that. Well, that's the one she has the standard for, right? Oh, she's got both.
Both, but...
Ignore me, yeah.
I think the 1500. I think we will see Riki try and go for the 1500. To be honest, I'm not sure. I think she looks at the Europeans. She'll make this decision on kind of what she wants to run at Euros. And I think she's gravitating towards trying to do the 1500 at Euros.
Yeah. And that's tough when they don't know who's doing what. This is why they should almost have to declare exactly what they're doing. Because it means the decisions for other athletes is quite hard as well. And he's probably thinking, oh, well, Georgia's in the 8, but ultimately she's probably going to run the 15. And then,
Yeah, and actually, this is
well,
the
maybe
one
they talk about these things, right? Maybe they have a bit more inside scoop on these things than we.
The women's 15 is the one event where I look at it, and there's probably a world where they take the top three. You know, whoever finishes 1, 2, 3, I think they go because I'm looking at everyone else who's in and around. I don't think anyone else is going to run 4:03.5. So I don't think anyone else who hasn't got the standard is going to do the standard in the next month. So. I think they'll
We're always saying we don't think George is going to run that, so it won't be the top three.
Top two. They'll take the top two.
Yeah.
They'll take Snowden. They'll take Walcott Nolan's got the standard. Laura Muir. That's going to be a very tough race for Laura Muir. Because I would say if it's tactical, Riki's got a better kick than Muir. Snowden's got a better kick than Muir at the moment. Obviously.
Yeah.
Walcott Nolan's probably got Aaron Wallace. Like. And then obviously we saw what Sarah Calvert did to that field last year. So you do start to bring in people like her, but has had quite a quiet season so far.
Yeah. So yeah, we're women's 15. Yeah, we're presuming no Georgia Bell, which makes it nice and tight though. You take Georgia Bell out of that race and actually if Muir, Walcott, Nolan, Snowden and Riki all run, you're probably like, well, they're all, depending on how the races run, like you say, they're all probably much of a muchness. Hovering around that 4 minute mark in terms of season's best anyway.
Yeah, they are. They really are, to be fair. Something else they say that they will take into account, and I wonder what they'll prioritize. Will they prioritize people who have run faster, or will they prioritize the Road to Birmingham rankings?
Faster.
Because I always think historically they go with the fastest person, but it would be good to see them acknowledge the road to Birmingham.
It would, but then it would go against what the previous decisions have been based off, which has always been that the rankings are kind of irrelevant. So it would be a bit of a U-turn.
Yeah, I mean, because for example, you've got like Shay Wyman's ranked 18th. and actually that would be a...
Kerr's ranked well down on there. When we checked last, wasn't he?
Yeah, he is.
Makes no sense.
Yeah, the road to... Yeah, even someone like Tom Keane. Unfortunately, Tom Keane is the 8th Brit, if you go on ranking points. He's got people like McCluckie, Cooty, Fogg, McMurray, all ahead of him. And then obviously the big stars, the big names.
Yeah. Should we chat about that men's 15? Because I guess quite similar to the women's 15. Well, if we don't see Georgia Bell running in that race, it's quite similar where we've got some big names, but no big names, if you like. And it'll be quite close to the front. So leading entries, Giles is in there, Archie Davis, Jake Hayward on the comeback, Tom Keane you just mentioned, and James McMurray. Giles and Gawley, only athletes with the standard. Gawley obviously from last year has accepted. Yeah, it's gonna be interesting.
Yeah, I mean this is the one where how's Gawley moving? Jake Hayward, and then you've got all of your potential up and comers. Your Tom Keynes, your George Cooties, who I know has struggled, his own social media post saying just struggled a little bit this back end of his NCAA season, but he's looking forward to what's ahead of him. Got Adam Fogg, you've got McCluckey. I mean, McCluckey's in the five as well. McMurray is in there. So it is, Mills is on there, but Mills is injured. Mills won't be racing British champs. I don't even think he'll be racing the European championships. You've got Sam Charik, who was a medalist last year. You've just got, the top three is going to be a very different top three to what we've seen in a while. But I do just looking at Giles and Gawley, actually, even if they're out of shape, they somehow find a way at British champs. I don't know how they do
particularly
it.
Gawley.
Particularly Gawley.
He's the master.
They really do just find a way. And yeah, so I can't see them not being on the podium, those two guys. Jake Hayward is obviously getting back, but he still hasn't run, he hasn't run faster than lots of other guys, McMurray, Tom Keane, they've all run fast. They've all run your 334s. They're all right, very close to that standard of 333.5. And
well, this is the one I was going to say, where if someone does, I guess, come out of the woodwork and get themselves a win or the top two, this is the one where you could see quite a few guys actually going and running that 333.5 over the next month or so after the British Champs.
Easily.
Because they are so close to it.
Easily. And I think the top three, if you can sneak third place at the British Champs, I think you could well be in that mile with Josh Kerr. So in the London Diamond League, you're going to get a lane in that London Diamond League. And that is what a lot of these men, obviously they're racing for a podium here and, to put themselves in the best position to qualify for Euros. But I think as well in the eight, if we get anyone cause a bit of an upset in the eight, I think those athletes are going to get the opportunity to run the London Diamond League. And obviously, that's a massive opportunity because history tells you that is where people just run exceptionally fast.
Yeah.
And they have those outliers, those freak performances tend to occur in London.
Yeah, that used to be that was how everyone qualified, right?
It was a cheat code. Yeah.
It was always the case. But yeah, again, men's 15, nothing crazy to report. What I would say, go and check out our Instagram if you want to have a look at all these entries as well, because we've got them all posted up on there. In terms of who the leading entries are, who's accepted so far, and who's got a qualifying standard. So go and make sure you run your eyes across those if you would like to. Moving over to the fives. Men's 5K. Is there anyone else doubling up that we've not mentioned? So Wigfield's on has accepted both.
McCluckey.
I
think that's it.
Yeah, Mills has accepted.
Yeah, Mills and
not running.
No, we won't see Mills.
And then in terms of leading entries, then Malarkey, BT, Jacob Kahn, Charlie Wheeler, Butchie's on there as well. Obviously, race on the weekend at the London 5K. Yeah, again, a standard of 13.08. Is anyone going to run that now? Between now and the champs, even if they do win this race.
Well, actually, that's difficult. It just depends what they can get into, and the 5Ks are so hard. There are a couple opportunities between now and Euros. There are, but it's just how good your agent is, and whether you can squeeze in it. Because at the moment, the Brits are over the 5,000. I mean, these guys in this race who could potentially shoot for that time are just not as favoured as some of the Europeans. When you look at the lineups, you just look how deep Europe is at the moment, the amount of people who have a 13.0 lifetime best, and they're going to get that priority. But one thing I would say is, they're 25 are going to be going to the European Championships, and it is very possible. Like, for example, George Cooty, if they were to go on ranking points, George Cooty is in a position at the moment where he would get an invite to the European Champs over 5K. He wouldn't get an invite over the 1500, but he would get an invite over the 5K. And so there are ranking points up for grabs, and that is probably the way to qualify. And Kuti is the way he scored that, by the way, is like they're not even that good of a category meet, but they're like the F type meets.
Yeah.
So they're far below the ranking of like what you would get if you ran the equivalent times in a silver meeting, for example.
Your Kuti, then, would you not run this 5K on the weekend?
Think I would. That's his best shout.
Message out to say, yeah. I'm interested. And also, tactical race, he could win that race. I'm not saying he'd be a favorite, but he could win it. And it then you get decent ranking points for winning the British champs as well.
Yeah, it's his best shot. 100% is his best shot, because over the 15, Whiteman Kerr already gone, and so Kuti would have to turn up and win this 1500, and then he'd probably have to go and chase 3:33.5, which, I don't know, he hasn't looked like he's running that sort of, able to run those times, but he's an incredible athlete, so he could well turn that round. But the one thing I would say, and this is what frustrates me about the 5K and the rankings, is Kuti ran 7:36 indoors at Boston. That race was worth 1,222 points. He's since then has run two 5Ks, 13:33. They're worth 1,000 points. So what annoys me is Kuti is in a position at the moment where he is, it's good for him, but he's in a position where he's 23rd on the road to Birmingham, and that is because of his 3K, which is not a 5K. And they need to change this. If they are going to persist with this world rankings formula, I do think they just need to strip the 3K out of it. Because, by the way, if you're a Brit, I think this is what James West needs to do, to be honest with you, because he's
hit three Ks.
He can go run. And McCluckey as well. James West, they just need to go and rinse some 3Ks. They need to go run 7:35 or just inside 7:40. They do it in a silver tour. Top five. They'll get an extra few bonus points and they'll find themselves in the rankings quota.
There you go, mate. You should be the agent, mate.
Well, yeah, so... Yeah, you're right. I think we probably will see Kuti in this five because of that. And obviously, he's come off a couple of hard 15s at the NCAAs.
George, if you're listening, get yourself in a five.
Opportunities,
and so we can have some representation over 5,000 at Europeans. One person who is close, Malarkey, of course, is only a second outside that standard.
Yeah, but if you go on his, he just needs another. He's not even on the. I don't know why. He's not even on the road to Birmingham, which is very weird. So maybe he just hasn't done enough fives yet. It's the only thing.
British champs win would give him some fairly decent points, though.
Yeah. Oh, the British champs win gives you really good points. And it doesn't even really matter what time it is, but yeah.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, the only thing I can think of is that's weird because Malarkey has a 5K from indoors, he has a 5K from outdoors and a 3K. So that's weird. He should easily be on there. Mate, Dave Malarkey, if you're listening, you need to
bring up World Athletics.
Yeah, you need to get onto European Athletics. So let me just double check. And that's all from 2026. Unless they just haven't updated. They haven't got those results. Like they haven't got his 3K from, maybe that's it. He did just do his 3K. He ran 7:38 at the Grand Prix on the weekend. So maybe that hasn't updated. So Malarkey will definitely be, that's what it is. I think they update update every Wednesday, usually, but Wednesday or Thursday. So yeah, that's what it is. So Dave Malarkey would definitely be in the rankings. He'll have almost a 1,200 point score, which would put him, let me just double check. Oh yeah, I'd put him in the top 16, top 17 easily. So yeah, Malarkey, if he doesn't get any quicker this season, he should definitely get an invite.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, good. That'll be good. Women's 5K, in terms of 15 accepted.
Hold on now. We haven't discussed who's going to win this 5K. Sorry, I really did witter on looking into all those stats. I should have done it before, but you're getting the live reaction. Mate, who wins? I'll ask you that question first. Malarkey, BT, Jacob Cann. Who wins out of those lot?
I think Malarkey might wins. I was kind of
He's way too dire. I mean, he's so consistent.
An obvious one, but I think he does. Like, I don't, based off what the other guys have done this season anyway, I can't see anyone beating him.
And how does
he's more sort of happy to let it go. He's not going to let it go ridiculously slow either, where you bring in a load of other guys, you know.
Yeah, and what I like about Malarkey is when he ran his 13.09 in LA, he did do a lot of the heavy lifting, actually. You know, he had all these, I can't even remember who they were, but your Drew Hunters, your Morgan McDonalds, these guys were sitting on the back of Malarkey. Malarkey knew that, yeah, they haven't got a standard to chase. They're just looking for a good, hard effort. Malarkey knew he needed that 13.08. He did do a lot of the pulling for sort of 3-4 laps at the crucial point of sort of 3K, 3.5K into that race. So it was a tough one for him. And looking at, yeah, his strength in that moment, he should just really just hit this last mile. I mean, but Bouchard's in there, you know, we can't take him out. You know, he's consistently run a couple of 13.30s and, you know, BT is definitely a strong runner as well. So Malarkey has got his work cut out, but I just think his performances, they are consistently very, very good. And yeah, he should be able to put away this field.
Yeah, you say we shouldn't discard Pucci. I think we probably can. In terms of winning the thing, I don't know. I'll be very surprised if he does.
I wouldn't mind betting Pucci breaks this field up a bit, because he won't want this big pack crawling around in 70s or 68. He'll want to do something about that.
Yeah, no, certainly. Like he won't want to. Yeah, wouldn't want to let it go kind of way too slow. And I don't think he'll back himself with some of those guys as well. Particularly, you put someone like a Kuti in there. There's no chance that actually he's gonna be kind of not in there on a slow pace. I mean,
yeah. Sorry, mate. I mean, we just check the entries one more time. But Kuti's not in that 5K. Oh, he's at it. Yeah, he's had a stinker.
We know he's not accepted, but is it too late to accept?
I don't know.
Yeah. That's what I mean. I think, he's not accepted yet, but do they all have had to accept it?
This graphic was made on Monday, so there's still time, George Kuti. Get yourself in that 5K, mate. Sit and kick. Get some more ranking points. You'll be on the plane to Euros with Dave Malarkey.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Okay.
Can we now move to the women's five?
Yeah, now we can move to the women's five.
There you have it. Only 15 accepted when we checked. Hannah Nuttall, Megan Keith, Indy Weir and Innes Fitzgerald have the European standard of 15.05. Look, Megan Keith, classy win the other night.
It's just race of the champs for me if they all turn up.
Yeah, and we've been building that kind of the past couple of years, right, in terms of this women's 5K. We've got a crop of up-and-comers, if you like, who have really got an opportunity to kind of, I guess, replace Yalish, your Jess Judds of the British athletic scene, right, and kind of take up that mantle of the top 5K women. And, yeah, in Keith Nuttall and Innes Fitzgerald, we could have some sensational races over the next few years. And yeah, we hope they're all going to be there. We hope they're all going to contest it. I think if they do, though, it's hard to look past. Probably hard to look past Megan Keith.
You reckon, man? I don't know. I thought Megan Keith's sort of impulsive decision to do the London 5000. Look, it was great. She was there. It was a New Balance event. She put on a real show. Broke 14:50. Heavy front running display. But I just don't know why. You know, it was amazing running Oslo, 8:28. You're 10 days out from champs at that point. You're going to have to put away Hannah Nuttall and Innes Fitzgerald. I was a bit surprised why. I mean, I think they all know that those three know that they're going. The only curveball is if India Weir gets amongst the podium.
I think that's the only way she goes is if she wins it.
Yeah, I can't.
They're not going to pick her ahead of those guys.
No, I don't think.
Unless she wins.
I don't think she's going to win. She could sneak. If the race is really slow, there's every chance she could sneak on a podium, maybe. But I actually look at Megan Keith. I look at Innes Fitzgerald. Hannah Nuttall's always had wheels. She's always had a good close. But starting to look at Fitzgerald, starting to look at Keith, and they are, I mean, Keith displayed it in that 3,828. They're looking just so much more.
Keith's fit. She's phenomenal.
They're just looking so much faster. You know, they're looking like they're able to kick with the bet. You know, they're kicking with world-class fields. So I do hear when people say, you know, yeah, Weir, great result last year, does have a good close, has run over 15.01, but these women will, I don't even think they'll let it go too slow either. I mean, they shouldn't let it go too slow. I think all you'd need to do is they'd need to run around at 15.20 pace, 15.15 pace, and that'll be the whole field dropped.
Yeah. I mean, you mentioned the impulsive decision to run London 5K. Is that any hints at the fact that Keith might not contest the British champs?
Well, that was what I thought. You know, there's a part of me that thought
if she went the first time that she's,
yeah, and if she
has gone down that route of preparing slightly differently for
she
an event.
And also she might not fancy the five. You know, she might go for the 10. There is a world where she might go for the 10. And I did think maybe she just wants to run fast enough over 5,000 to show that she should be on that team. And I don't think she ran fast enough on Saturday, though. So it was almost, it wasn't a wasted effort, but it was almost, if she'd have broken 14.40, if she'd have run 14.41 or something, she might have been in a better place. But just inside 14.50, I don't think it was enough to guarantee your spot over 5K. So she's going to have to come out here and do it. The only other person we haven't really mentioned is Melissa Courtney Bryant. And the reason being, she pulled out of the London 5000. I don't know what was wrong with her. It was a strange number of dropouts in that women's race. And yeah, maybe the timing just wasn't quite right. It was a week before British champs. So a few rumors going around before that someone like Courtney Bryant just wanted to run like a solid 15 minute race or, you know, 15.05, just, you know, really solid. Get under the standard of 15.05, which is she's more than capable of. But yeah, so tick that off and then sort of save her legs for champs, but did neither. And so I'm like, is she going to line up at champs?
Yeah. Is there a part of someone like Megan Keith coming in that puts someone like Courtney Bryant off doing that event ahead of the champs? I don't know.
Well, this is why I think Nuttall, Fitzgerald and Keith need to make this a pretty firm effort. Because if you let this dawdle, you're going to have Melissa Courtney Bryant in the mix. You're going to have India Weir in the mix. You're going to have Ockenden in the mix.
Carrie Hughes, potentially, unless she runs a steep.
Yeah, I would have thought she goes steep. Yeah, Holly, I think you've got to get it moving. The one thing I would say as well is this could be quite a bleak field. So Melissa Courtney Bryant doesn't line up because she's injured or whatever, because she did drop out. Carrie Hughes goes and does the steeple. Holly Dixon is also in the women's 1500. So there's three names who could potentially pull out of this thing. And then, yeah, you always get one or two no-shows. So it could only be sort of 10 of them on the start line.
Yeah, 10 on the start line and three of them out on their own after two laps. Then a long old slog for everyone else.
Yeah.
See, that
it's
one
of those ones where if you're a coach, you're probably...
But that's the problem, is then all the coaches think that and then they're like, right, no point in you running that, and then it gets even worse.
Yeah. No, I'm saying if you're Clitheroe and you're preparing Nuttall or you're Pavey or, you know, and you're preparing Fitzgerald, I think you've got a couple tactics you've got. If you get in that cool room and everyone's there, you know, Courtney Bryant's there, Ockenden, Weir, you know, all these people are lining up, then you probably have a slightly different tactic to then if there's a couple dropouts and there's a few faces that you thought were going to challenge for the podium, but they're not there anymore, how that changes the race.
Yeah, absolutely. So, mate, I went Keith. Are you saying Nuttall?
Yeah, do you know what? I am going to say Hannah Nuttall, and the reason being is because she's won many of a British title before. Also, I know she got put away by Keith in the 3K. I know, you know, that 3K wasn't her. It was still bloody good run. I mean, to run 8.35 still, but I think she'll step on from that. You know, these next 10 days, she'll really step on from there. Whereas Keith has had a tough race schedule. You know, she was Oxford, then she was London. Now she's going to be, you know, Birmingham. She would have done 2 5Ks and a 3K in 10 days. And then as well, Fitzgerald just haven't seen enough. Again, good 3K, but just when, if it's a head-to-head Fitzgerald and Nuttall, I'm always going to go with Nuttall there.
Yeah. No, I hear you. I think if Keith's not there, if Keith's just thinking, oh, okay, I'm just going to go for the 10, not going to do British champs, then yeah, then Nuttall for sure for me.
And just roll the dice, because there are, and this is the thing with two discretionary spots, she can roll the dice. She can go, I'll just bank on getting picked over, because if Liz Courtney Bryant doesn't run 15.05, then she'll get picked, let's be honest.
Yeah, and even if she does, again, unless Millie Courtney Bryant wins it and runs a standard in the next month, I still think they pick Keith.
Yeah. If she wants a double, so every possibility we won't see her there.
Yeah. look, men's steeple, one man with the standard.
Zakaru. Yeah, I'll tell you what though, Christian Imhoff is like, that was, I mean, one, tough. Standard's 820 flat. He's run 820.5. He's run a couple of 820s in the last few weeks, one at the regionals and one in the NCAA final after a heat. 61 last lap. Comes third. He is in bloody good form. And do you know what? Like, credit to him. He's gone over to Eastern Kentucky, you know, the same university Coleman went to. Coleman had great success there. Imhoff has really capitalized on being in that environment, and he's delivered. And this season, he's the fastest Brit by some way.
Yeah, he is. And it does feel a shame. Have you got the those rankings up still? Do you know, we know whereabouts Imhoff is in the Road to Birmingham?
Oh, yeah. Let me just change event there. I mean, the European steeplechase at the moment is in a filthy place. Like, I'll be honest, they allow 34. They've got almost, they've got 20 or so with the standard. It's 20 men sub 820 anyway. And then the points are good. Like, actually, before you get to Imhoff, Phil Norman is in with a shout. Mark Pierce is in with a shout. Phil Norman not on the accepting entries, by the way, but there are a whole host of Europeans as well. And the difficult thing as a Brit now, when Imhoff comes home, is like, where do you race? Because there are so few opportunities for the steeple. There's a Doha Diamond League on Friday night. Obviously, never going to get in that. But what I'm saying is, there's two races, two steeples, like, of a decent caliber, decent quality between British champs and basically that window closing. And they are stacked because, of course, every other European who is very close to the ranking system, you know, by qualifying in the quota, wants to be involved. And I almost feel like Europeans, they don't get favoured. But if the meet's in Italy, they're going to give four or five Italians a lane, you know. Or if the meet's in France, they're going to give, you know, France have a stupid amount of, I mean, they have 12 guys.
This is where we need, like, gold labels, silvers.
In the UK. But by the way, France have 12 men inside the quota for the steeple. That is nuts. Absolutely nuts. And they've got nine men.
Every time you take them out, then...
Yeah, sorry. They've got eight men who have run the standard.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. But yeah, so you get all of these guys in these races is what I'm saying. So it's going to be so Imhoff, but he'll have those NCAA performances. He's in a similar place as Dave Mullarkey. The system has not updated yet. He'll have those NCAA performances, and I think that will push him right up.
Yeah, and if he wins on the weekend, then also, again, big points. And I guess makes his claim. So yeah, the sub 830 men, Imhoff's in there, Mark Pierce, Bashil, Zach Seddon, of course, only man with the standards, so sub 820 clock in from last season. Look, can you allowed to share any inside info on the main man?
What do you want to know, mate?
I wanna know if he's gonna win.
Well, we hope so. We hope so. I mean, the British title in the steeple has changed hands. I mean, it's been a different winner. So many years. No one's won it back to back in quite some time. Obviously, Norman won it last year. He's a man who's got two in the last 6 years. Is it 5 or 6 years? You know, but everyone's had their stint. I know Coleman's retired, but yeah, Coleman had his stint early 20s. Pierce, Batsil, Norman, brother, pre-2020 even. And so it's been a different winner. So yeah, it's just, I think with he's in a position where he's under-raced, or hasn't opened his, he's done one steeple. And so this is just going to be his second steeple. He's taking a very similar approach to last year in a way where, you know, just looking to really get it right for August. And just, being a dad and working full time and juggling all of that these days, you obviously just have to kind of take your moments when, if life gets a bit busy, unfortunately, you just have to step off the gas a bit. And, you know, when things calm down, you can then put your foot on the gas. And then that's when you can, you know, really push towards some of these races. And also getting, like I said, the reason I know about these races is because getting confirmed in these races is really, really difficult. And until you're confirmed in a race, it's hard to shape training, because if someone turns around and says, yeah, you're confirmed, the race is in 4 weeks, at least then you can shape, you know, workouts. But if you go too early, then you end up just, you know, when you get that opportunity to race, you end up just being spent and not in a position to run your best. And so that's what he'd learned over the years, and that's kind of why he was able to get last year right. But whether he can this year will be interesting.
Yeah, we shall see. And like you say, we do hope so as well. We are a little bit biased, of course, but I think that's absolutely fine. People seem to forget that we're allowed to have an opinion, to support certain athletes sometimes. But yeah, should be a good race. Imhoff is of course the man in form. I wonder how that travel is gonna affect him. Yes. Well, you said Mark Pearce has got some pretty good ranking points.
Well, and yeah, Pearce, and but yeah, I was just totaling up Imhoff's points. He will, because of that heat and final, he'll definitely be in. He'll be on about 1180 points, 1160 points, which will put him in the top 25 in Europe on the road to Birmingham. So he'll definitely be in a position to qualify if they accept points. But yeah, but like Mark, yeah, you're right. You know, Mark Pearce is in a position as well, and he's probably hanging on to that. He's going to probably need one more race just to cement his position and go a little bit quicker. But all of them, there is a good opportunity at Chaps to boost those points if you don't break 820 0.00. And as well, Will Batchel's in there. So even someone like, it's going to be interesting because I wonder how connected Imhoff is to Pearce and Batchel. And I wonder how, you know, what if they will work as a team. You know, we've seen them go for fast times in the past at major championships, or does Imhoff, is he going to like completely do his own thing and not be aware of what Pearce and Batchel are planning? And because obviously they all have an affiliation with Birmingham, but Imhoff is a different athlete now, and there's a British title on the line for him. So
yeah,
would he want to sort of buy into an element of team tactics?
Yeah, you think probably not. I guess the only way it works is if they all work for him, because no one else has shown that they're in sub 820 shape right now. I think it's very different if there's three guys who've all run 820. And you go, okay, well, we're gonna do it this way. We're gonna take these laps or these Ks, however you want to do it, and then we're all gonna have a fair crack with 600 meters to go to see who does it. But ultimately, if they do it this way with the current season's best, they're setting up for Imhoff, and I don't think that's the way to do it. If, like you say, if you're Mark Pearce, and actually, if you win the British Champs on a weekend, you're probably in a good ranking slot. So why would you do that?
Yeah, and race directors look at you and go, oh, we got the British champion. Yep, you can.
Yeah,
you can run in his world tour.
So it's a British champion, like you say, this is just it's exchange hands, and if these athletes finish their careers in a couple of years and they've won three UK titles over steeplechase, I think they'll look back at them and be very pleased with those. So yeah, you can't like, I guess, discount that aspect as well.
No. British Champs is a horrible race. You know, it's a different, it's very, very different to any world tour. Like, there's an element of adrenaline on the lot, you know, you're pumped up, you're hyped, there's lots of adrenaline, but at the same time, because there is so much at stake, that is a lot of people struggle. And that's why we see these crazy upsets and disasters at British Champs, because there is just a lot at stake.
Yeah. I mean, mate, talking about upsets at British Champs, is this women's steeple, is this the biggest lock?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
Elise Thorner. Been running incredibly all season so far. She's someone who's managed to get quite a few races out already. And yeah, I don't think we can look past Elise Thorner for the win in the women's steeple.
No way. No way. 12 athletes in there. Sarah Tate has the standard.
From last year.
Yeah. From last year, yeah. Yeah, haven't seen much of her, so that was a shame. But yeah, opportunity for a few to go. I mean, Carrie Hughes is going to be the interesting one for me, but season's best of 9.58 hasn't. When you think off the back of last year, I thought she'd be quite aggressive at going about chasing that standard. So yeah, I'm intrigued.
She had a good winter as well, didn't she? She made a Eurocross team in the winter.
Yeah, actually, done. Look, she's probably had issues. I'm sure she's had a few problems. But actually, yeah, obviously don't know too much, not inside that camp much, don't know too much about it. Maybe she's been injured, just looking here. Yeah, there's a few cycling. Yep, Carrie Hughes 6 days ago, probably doesn't even do champs, looks like she's injured, looks like she's on the bike and the Alter G and stuff like that, so that could be a shame for her. But yeah, women's steeple, definitely a big lock for Elise Thorner.
There you go. There's nothing much more to say there. I think that wraps up our predictions. So what I'd say, I've just finished recording this and I was thinking, this has got to be the easiest British champs prediction ever. But then every single time there's an upset. So where's it going to be, mate? What's the one event where you think there's room for some weird results here?
Yeah, and I think the reason why you're saying it's quite an easy one to predict is because we haven't got that whole...
I feel like we feel like that every
no,
year.
No, but I think in terms of Euros, you know, why champs has been so anticipated by a lot of us over the last few years is because there was two spots and then there was that one discretionary, and even that was like, oh God, if you come third, there's a heavy chance you're going. But now, yeah, we've harped on about it this podcast, but with just that one spot, it then kind of makes second and third less important. You know, there's going to be ways British Athletics will spin things in order to make sure they get the, you know, the people they want at Euros. But yeah, where's the biggest upset going to be? I mean, the men's 1500 is, that's a very tricky one to call. That is probably the hardest event. Is that what you asked me? What's the hardest event to call? I think that's the hardest event to call.
Yeah, maybe hardest event to call, but also like, is there anywhere where like a favorite slips up? Because I guess in that,
well, you know, I wouldn't say, you know, although Giles and Gawley have amazing pedigree and they've got the job done time and time again, I would not be surprised if someone new wins this title. You know, McMurray closed hard last year, Charrick closed hard last year. You know, I'm not saying they're going to do it again this year, but I think we could see, you know, could we see Hayward win this title? Could we see Tom Keane win this title? Kuti, yeah, I think there could well be someone new in that men's 15. So, so that's a very difficult one to call. I think the women's 15 will go more or less by the form, but the winner is going to be difficult. But if Hunter Bell doesn't line up, I'm going to give the win to Katie Snowden. And the men's 5K, again, we're very likely to see a different winner. But I think Malarkey just looks strongest. And yeah, men's steeple was a great race last year. I think it's going to be another cracker. I think that's, yeah, I mean, the heats of the 800 are going to be awfully fascinating for the men. Four heats, only eight to qualify. Maybe they'll have nine in the final because Birmingham is a nine-lane track. A couple of fastest loser spots, but you're going to get some big 145 men miss out. 144 men even are probably going to miss out. It's going to be... I mean, and obviously Alex Bottrell the other day runs 144.1. Like, but again, it's in Nice and I look at those times now. I'm in a place where I look at those times on the European circuit. I'm like, well, unless you can, you know, what does 144 convert to in a BMC in Loughborough on a windy day? Probably a 146. I'm not... Maybe that sounds crazy of me, but genuinely, if Bottrell was in that BMC in Loughborough, I bet he would have run 146.
100%, mate. I'm 100% with you on that one. Like, it's so dependent on the caliber of athletes around you, and it's probably, particularly in the 1500 on like the world stage, there's probably a whole host of 3:32 guys who could run 3:30 who just don't get the opportunity.
Yep. Yeah. That, well, 100%. 100%. So there's British champs, man. I mean, Jesus, we are looking forward to it. Don't forget, there's a lot of other races this weekend. I mentioned Doha Diamond League. I've just got to go there. I really have, because I looked at the start list and it... Women's 5K, 14 Ethiopians, 3 Kenyans, 1 Spaniard. I mean, what's happened? Diamond League. I think we called this a little earlier on in the season when it was in Xiamen or wherever it was, but... Oh, the Diamond League is for me, it's going downhill if that's the way they're going to... It's tough, obviously. There's not going to be any Brits there, but where are all the Europeans? Like, I mean...
Yeah, it's an interesting 15, one.
Yeah. 15, 6 Ethiopians.
Yeah, we spoke about this before we started recording, and I guess I posed the question to Matt that if we were in a position as a nation where we had 14 of the best 5K athletes in the world, we'd want them to be all given a lane in the Diamond League, rather than thinking, okay, we need to split this up fairly between the nations. What I think Diamond League or World Athletics or whoever's job it is could do a bit better job of is saying, look, we're a nation that's got 14 athletes capable of making a Diamond League. Only three of them are going to appear at major championships. I know obviously there's no Worlds or Olympics this year. Let's create content or create stories around that and how impressive that is. And I guess selling that, because you can be sure that if we were in that position, even if it was what we had six to eight guys in a men's 1500, right? That would be a massive storyline and there would be, like, I guess, massive hype around that.
Mm. I mean, that's, because only three of them can ever go to a championships, and it'll no doubt be a different three every championships with the Ethiopians and just how hard it is to make that team. And again, yeah, I'm not knocking them, but you know, when you say we should do better at making a storyline of these athletes, I mean, they'll probably run two or three Diamond Leagues this year, and then it'll be a different two or three next. It's very difficult to do that. Yeah. And actually there are storylines out there. There are some big hotshot Europeans. You know, there are bigger names. There are more exciting matchups that you can develop and you can piece together as a meet director. And yeah, that 5K, there is no storyline. The storyline is Gudef Sege is serving a ban 4 months. That is, you know, the Ethiopian. So that's the storyline. Very interesting. We won't go into it. We don't want to spoil this British Champs episode. But anyway, so yeah, I just thought, yeah, Diamond League to the start list, a bit underwhelming, really. And all focus will be on British Champs for us. Ostrava, bit of news. Obviously, Orjivero, 154. Femke Bol, probably actually, that was where I sort of looked at, paid a little bit more attention to, because 157, that's a nice improvement on indoors. She did get after it. She did go with Vero. She was happy to go hard. And yeah, if she continues to improve, I think there's a world where Femke Bol is running 155 high by the end of the season.
Yeah, well, I feel like the thing with Bol is she's going to feel good going through at that pace. She may as well go with it and just keep cracking on and see how far she goes almost. I don't think she's going to benefit much from going off slow.
No. And the event's not in that place right now.
Mm.
The event's so much further along than that. European champs, I mean, if you've got Keely, if Georgia Bell fancies it, Audrey Vera and Femke Bol, that is going to be so good.
Yeah.
And I mean, over in the NCAA, it took a sub two minutes to qualify for final. I mean, it's a joke.
Femke Keely in the 4x4 as well on the last leg.
And then a Femke Keely in the 4x4, Britain versus the Dutch, that would be special. But yeah, women's 800, I mean, yeah, Lady of One NCAA, Sanna Jallo, 156, 55-0 first lap, 55-0, no paces, no wave lights, bang. I always look at NCAA results though, and I'm like, I take them with a pinch of salt, because no one ever replicates those performances. And actually, athletes struggle on the NCAAs to actually transition into really, really top flight pros. I mean, so only looking at some of the meet records, Cooper Tears 13-12. I mean, that's probably still the best year of his running career.
It's crazy, isn't it? It's such a weird space, like, in terms of like the bubble they're in, like the performances from the outside are crazy, and it's just so they normalize it, don't they?
Yeah, and I think in the NCAA you're able to get really competitive, fired up. You're able to build momentum through a season because every race matters. Whereas as a pro, that's actually a really difficult task, because races, they do matter, but they don't. And there's basically just one race that matters.
Yeah.
And so it's a very different approach to the season. I think a lot of those people who thrive in that situation, you know, the coach really cares, your teammates really care. Whereas when you step away as a pro, it's like your teammates, you really don't really have many teammates, and they care, but they also care about what they're doing. They're trying to make teams, they're trying to win titles. Your coach obviously cares, but that whole hype around you goes.
Yeah, and particularly for the ones who are like competitive across all the disciplines, so say like a cross country, indoor and outdoor, like your proper distance guys, you get three opportunities every single year. And like you say, yeah, there's one important race a year, but ultimately there's only really one important race every 2 years.
Yeah, and one every four. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But yeah, so that was probably the big result from Ostrava. I mean, just from the NCAA, I think the women's eight, we spoke about the men's steeple, which is a great run from Imhoff, and then the men's 15, 52 point last lap for Simeon Bonbon. Killer. And that's a guy who just needs to now just tear up this season. And I think he'll look at definitely, you know, next year, he'll have to plan his season a little bit differently to try and make sure he prolongs it to qualify for the world. That's going to be the hardest thing for him. But mate, there's loads more we could talk about. This week was mega. There was loads of races, but we'll probably just leave it there and let you guys enjoy British Champs.
Yeah, absolutely. Just before we wrap up, you will have noticed us chatting about the guys at GoWard for the past couple months or so. Just another shout out to them for sorting us out and giving us kind of a premium subscription to try out the stuff. Matt, mate, do you want to talk about what GoWard is for those of you who haven't been listening? Or yeah, look, through this section.
Look, in short, you know, it's a popular mobility and stretching app. It's covers 50 plus sports or whatever sport you do. Obviously, we're all runners here, but there is a great crossover into multiple different sports. And look, in short, you get on the app, you take a free assessment, obviously, that measures your mobility, key joints across your body, movement patterns, everything like that. It gives you a full rundown. It's a pretty comprehensive assessment. And then from there, that it will just generate sort of daily stretching and routines to help you improve. And obviously, you can have some say in that, but it is, yeah, really beneficial. It's very, very personal. It's kind of everything that you want from your physio when you go and see your physio, but in an app and from the comfort of your own home.
Yeah. Certainly is. And yeah, we've been obviously using it for the past few months. So thanks again to those guys. And make sure you go check GoWhat out if you are interested in adding that to your own training repertoire. But mate, that wraps us up. Any predictions for the football tonight? England kicking off the campaign.
I can't wait. Yeah. So I think I watched a tiny bit of Norway Iraq last night. Haven't really watched much World Cup. So yeah, I'm just grateful that England are finally playing. Who are we playing? Croatia. Yeah, I think we'll win that 3-0.
3-0. There you have it.
Come on.
I reckon we'll kick off with a stinky little draw, but then we'll be all right after that.
Nah, I mean, Spain are out there drawing 0-0 to Cape Verde. So
I
to be
we've
fair.
Got a little 1-1 in us tonight, unfortunately. I hope I'm wrong. But
is that a World Cup semi-final? Was it us, Croatia? Was it us? Yeah, World Cup semi-final 2022. Oh, yeah. Kieran Trippier's free kick. Yeah. So no, I think we'll do it, man. I think the boys are hyped up. I think Tuchel it's going to give them a real German grilling and make sure they do the job. I think it'll be 3-0.
There you go. Hope you're right, mate. Hope you're right. Right. Thanks, guys, for listening to us. We'll be coming, I think, Sunday night. We'll do a British Champs review.
Hell yeah.
So we'll be back very soon. We'll make sure that's up straight away, get our reaction from the British champs, and enjoy the champs. If you're going down, look out for Matt. I'm not going to be there this year, but Matt, I think you're going to be around on Sunday. So make sure you say hello to him, because that's his favorite thing to do, is to spend about 3 hours walking around a concourse. Absolutely everyone, which is why I'm not there this year.
I can't help it.
I've had enough of just standing there.
I can't help it. No, mate, Lum's getting married, actually. Wish Lum a happy wedding. So Lum's getting married next week. So he, and rightly so. Katie has put a stop to him being a... She hasn't, but he's
I was going to say,
He's taking care of his fiancée on the weekend before their wedding, just a couple of days later. So that's what we'll be doing next week, during the week. But... No, I think I'm just going to be a spectator this year. On the Sunday, I'm actually commentating the post champs on the Saturday evening, sort of late Saturday evening. But I'm looking forward to that. So a busy weekend nonetheless.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks very much, guys. And we'll catch you very, very soon.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.